just wanted to share some thoughts with you as we respond to this situation. There's a lot of uncertainty right now with COVID-19 virus affecting every area of our lives, and so much we don't know about the future. And there's words being thrown around like unprecedented, never in my lifetime, or never seen anything like it before. Those are just some examples of how we're responding to this. The question is, how should we respond in a time like this? You see a lot of responses. Many are responding in fear, stockpiling, you know, the whole toilet paper craze, and a mistrust of others, even just the distancing beyond just a normal social distance. The stock market's going crazy, and you could think of other examples as well. And just the worry that there's out there. What if I lose my job? What if I can't pay my bills? What if my loved ones get a virus and die? If this lasts for months, I mean, how is this going to affect my future situation? And you know, what if the kids can't finish school? And how that going to affect the future? And the economy crashes? And so many of these situations. If we're honest, these are things that we're all thinking about. But the question is, what should we be thinking about? I think 2 Timothy 1:7 gives us needed truth for our time and reminds us of what we need to remember in uncertain times. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And this is a very appropriate verse for us right now. The context here is Paul is encouraging Timothy in ministering for the Lord in Ephesus in light of his, you know, he seems to be a more timid personality, and his tendency is to be overwhelmed with fear or paralyzed by fear. I think we see a lot of that today. And it is our human tendency to respond to this situation that seems so out of our control. But to realize God has not given us, God, the God of this universe, who is sovereign, he's in control, he is good and kind. We'll talk about some of that, but he says he has not given us a spirit of fear. But what a contrast, and we'll talk, you know, how that verse goes. But to realize the gift that he has given us, and us here means believers, and the spirit that he's talking about is the Holy Spirit, as I think becomes obvious. You look at like Romans 8:15, where, you know, it talks about you know, what God has done for us, you know, and how he's given us the Spirit. But instead, he has given us the Holy Spirit, who enables us to be bold. In the context here, verse 8 goes on to be, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us," verse 9, "and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before time began." That, you know, he's encouraging, Paul is encouraging Timothy to be bold in sharing because of the Spirit within him. And he is just reminding him of the faith, how it came from his mother and grandmother, and how he trusted in Christ because of their work in his life. And you see that the Spirit's enabling to be bold in sharing the gospel. Acts 4:31 talks about that, and shares an example of how they, you know, those who were so fearful after, you know, the disciples, after Christ died. And yet here it says that when they prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And that's the Spirit that we have. He has been given to us. And what the encouragement is, you know, because of that Spirit, as Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And that close relationship with him. So we don't have a spirit of fear, as we our natural tendency is, but instead we have a spirit of boldness. and we should respond as the way He has called us to. The contrast here is that of power. And the power that He is talking about is the same power that, according to Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, the power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us so that we can say, as Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to Him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus. So that's the power that is at work in our lives. But it's not just a power. It's of love. The love that we know God loves us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That's proof of that. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love toward us, and while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. The next time I get to preach to you will be 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, how the love of Christ compels us, because we judge us that one died for all. He died for all that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and rose again. So these are passages, you know, that show us the love of God that He has for us as believers. And, you know, 1 John 4 talks about all about God's love. Verse 7 says, or chapter 4, verse 7 talks about us loving God because He loved us. And, you know, that's why love should flow from us to those around us. But verse 8 is that God is love. He is the perfect embodiment of that. So this is where the love comes from. And love here is what is right and perfect. Loving and, you know, doing what's best for another in light of eternity. And then you have verse 18 here in 1 John 4. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." So, how love should cause us not to fear, but instead trust in Him. And then lastly, the verse ends, it's of a sound mind. I like that. It says a sound mind. You know, it's the same thinking. It's the mind of Christ. Or, as other pastors put it, the renewed mind. How we have a mind that thinks like Christ thinks. Book of Philippians is all about that. Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." You know, it goes on to talk about how He humbled Himself and God ultimately exalted Him. And we're to have that mind. In fact, that's the mind that leads us to trust God in prayer. Philippians 4:6-9. Now, the peace of God, you know, when we come to Him in prayer, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." It's through Him that we can have that confidence. There's other passages, Romans 12, 1 and 2, how we're, you know, renewed in the spirit of our minds as we're transformed to be like Christ. Ephesians 4, 17, and really through the end of that chapter, you know, where it talks about not thinking like we used to in the our normal way of darkened mind and thinking as unbelievers and how we used to be, but instead that we would have a renewed mind like Christ, that we would put off our former conduct, the old man, which is gross, corrupt, but in be renewed, verse 23, in the spirit of your mind, and then you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And, you know, that's gives the examples of not lying, being not being sinfully angry, stealing but working hard, using our speech to build others up rather than tear others down, and not getting angry but instead being kind, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ. So those are just some examples of what God has done in giving us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So, as you think about that verse, what does this mean? How should we respond as we hunker down to endure the COVID-19 crisis? Well, number one, we need to remember who our God is. And I know I've shared this before. We've gone through Quieting a Noisy Soul series, but the stabilizing truths for noisy souls, it's the knowledge of God. You know, that number one, God is always good. That means He will always meet my genuine needs. Philippians 4:13, verse 19. Matthew 6:31-33. He will always forgive my sin. Always. 1 John 1:9. Psalm 51. Isaiah 66, verse 2, the second half of that verse. He is always up to something good in my life. Always. Jeremiah 29:11. Romans 8:26-34. He will always love me personally. Always. Romans 8:35-39. Jeremiah 31:3. John 17:23. He will always give me the grace I need. Always. 2 Corinthians 9:8. 1 Corinthians 15:10. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. And then, secondly, that God is great. Always great. That means that He's always in control of all things. Always. Psalm 103:19. Isaiah 14:27. Isaiah 46:9-10. He's always present with me, always. Psalm 139:7-12, Isaiah 41:10, Jeremiah 23:24. He is always the same, always. Malachi 3:6. I love that verse. God does not change. Hebrews 1:10-13. And He is always trustworthy, always. 2 Timothy 2:13, even when we are not. Psalm 36:5, Numbers 23:19. Deuteronomy 7:9 and 31:8. And then He is always wise in what He does, always. Romans 11:33, Colossians 2:3. These are the truths that will anchor us when our mind is tempted to revert to our normal way of thinking, of fear and you know, the selfishness, and where we're only focused on ourselves, and we'll be able to destroy. We end up in, you know, because of our unbelief, we end up in despair as we go down those paths of fear and anger. And we need to come back to God, who He is, that He is great and that He is good. So that's the first truth. Remember who our God is. Secondly, remember that our God gives good gifts to His children. Matthew 7:11. You know, it used the illustration there of, if we then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? God is giving us good things right now. It may not seem like it, but He is working for our good and His glory. And remember Romans 8:28. You know, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. And the context of Matthew 7 is He's just talked about how we shouldn't worry about things, because God's in control. Instead, seek Him first, and that we come to Him, ask, seek, knock, you know, and all that. And that should drive us to Him. Remember that God, as James 1 tells us, He is all good things come down from the Father of lights, whom there's no shadow or variation of turning. He doesn't change. And so we can always trust Him. And then three, remember that God has given us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is God living within us to enable us to overcome our fears and worries and respond right in this crisis by trusting Him continually. When we are behaving as if we don't have the Spirit, what a contradiction. We have God within us to enable us, and we can respond right. Now fourth, remember that God has given us access to the same power that raised Christ from the dead. This is the verses I shared earlier. Ephesians 1:19-23, 20-21. We have the power, the enablement to respond right to this. And then number five, remember that God has given us His love as it is shown in sending His Son to die for us. And you know, John 3:16 should be great encouragement. And that's the love that we can share with those around us. And nothing can separate us from that love if we are His called ones. And even if it feels like we're being slaughtered, like Romans 8:28-39, even, you know, the promise there is we cannot be separated from God's love. So no matter what we go through. And it's what a comfort as to know that His love is being shown toward us, and we will be in His presence one day. As many have said recently, you can't threaten us from heaven, and we need to trust Him through this. Now, this also means that we should show love to those around us, because many times in Scripture, like 1 John 4, if we love God, since God loved us, we should love others. And we should love our neighbors, as Romans 13:9. In the context there, fleshes that out. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. Not just think about yourself and your family, but think about those around us. And even our enemies, as Matthew 5:43-47, Jesus commands. So this is where especially can be really practical in this time of crisis, that we can show love to one another, first by praying for one another, checking in on each other, giving to help needs, running errands for those in isolation, limiting our contact. Think about their need, not just what you want to do, but keep your distance from those that are especially vulnerable. But then giving the gospel, pointing people to the true hope. You can do that over the phone, you can do that in letters. There's ways that you can still do that, because that is most important. People would find hope in not this life and surviving a pandemic, but surviving the greatest threat that faces us, and that is because of our sin. We are condemned and under God's wrath, and yet God in His love has made Christ, He sent His Son to die in our place, and that all who trust in Him can be delivered and find eternal life. So that's the hope that we have. We can pray for our leaders, pray for those affected, pray for the persecuted church in China, Iran, other places. Those are places that are hit really hard. Yet they're finding, I was just reading that they're being more bold because they're wearing masks on their face so they can't be recognized as easily. Pray for them through this time. And then lastly, remember that God has given us a sound mind through the enabling of Spirit. As we trust Him, Philippians 2:12-13 tells us that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but it is God who works in us through the Holy Spirit to do of His good work and His pleasure. He provides us the enablement and the motivation to do the right thing. And this is through our relationship with Christ. As Philippians 2:1-5 shows us, we can have this comfort, this encouragement, this consolation, because we have Christ, and when we have His mind, we can have a peace that comes through trusting in Him through prayer, as Philippians 4:6-9 explains. So these are just six things we need to remember through this time. And above all, remember that God has not been caught off guard by this crisis. We can always trust Him. This is the God who is both great, the one who's in control of all things, present with us always, always the same, always trustworthy, always wise in what He does, and good. That means He's always good. He's always forgives sin. He's always loves us personally. He always gives us the grace that we need. And the fact that we're going through this means that He's given us what we need to endure this. And may we seek to trust in Him through this time and be faithful in showing love to those around us. Father, I pray that You would just work through us in this time, that You would enable each of us to respond as You call us to trust You, and that we would be salt and light to those around us in our limited ways, yet You would receive the glory because You are working good in our lives through this crisis. Help us to trust You. Remember these truths. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.